Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains August 15th through the 18th. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating US Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Hello everyone and welcome back to episode 243 of your favourite Formula One show. Yes, Jamie and I return, knowing Wheel is back, to review what was a fairly interesting Austrian Grand Prix. First of all, Jamie, the most important question, how is the new car search going and how are you?
I'm good. The new car search is over because I got one, so that's sweet.
Have you got a car?
Yeah. I've got a VW Polo from 2009.
And, are we getting a tour of it at some point?
I mean, I've got some pictures. I could give you a tour. There's not a lot to tour really, because it's got no air conditioning, wind up windows.
Oh,
yeah. it's one of those. It's the most basic 2009 car you've ever seen. Like, it's probably more basic than my 2003 that I had before. So
really.
Like, that one had air conditioning, electric windows. That's the level.
Wow. I was going to say, I mean, it's a good week to not have air conditioning here
in
the UK, is it? Or a good day, anyway.
Yeah, thankfully, I don't have to go anywhere today, so that's ideal. Yeah, but it's going well. The bonnet opens, so it's better than my old car.
Fantastic.
So
surely
far,
that's a feature.
So far, so good. Yeah.
Happy days.
Very happy.
Happy days. Another person, let's just try and immediately do a terrible segue into Austria. Another person that had a new car this weekend, Jamie, was Alex Dunn. I don't know.
Dunn.
How are we meant to pronounce his
surname?
Is it
Dunn.
Alex Dunn?
Yeah.
But people keep saying Dunn, and I'm getting all confused.
He's Irish.
Like, I know,
like
he's Irish.
He's not like he's foreign. He's Alex Dunn.
I think maybe the Irish would take offence to that?
Maybe.
Yeah. I don't know. He's not Northern Irish, so technically I guess he is foreign to us in the UK?
Probably.
I have no idea. We won't go down that rabbit hole too early. But he did have a very, very impressive FP1 test with McLaren at Austria, didn't he?
He did. He did extremely good, and it was in Norris's car. And not only was he good on the times, because times are always a bit...
In free practice one, they're like, great.
In for FP1, it doesn't really matter what time you do, but he was right with Piastri anyway, which, you know, it's not a bad thing. But also, they gave him a proper program to follow, which was like giving feedback on tyres, setup, all sorts. And he just did it all like normal. It was like having a proper driver in there who's done multiple FP1s. And it kind of shows the confidence McLaren have in him, that they were able to give him this program and expect that he would make it useful. You know, sometimes in FP1 with rookie drivers, they often just basically say to them, don't crash, and here's a really simple program for you not to mess it up. Which is, I think, what Dino Beganovic probably got in Ferrari. Which is why he was, 17
exactly.
Or something.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, but it bodes well for the future.
It was a really, really good session for him. And I think the most impressive bit I read, which again, of course, you can't read too much into FP1, but he was quicker than Oscar and the quickest through the high-speed corners.
Yeah.
Which I know is where McLaren's strength lies well, but immediately, you know, that kind of shows he's clearly got a bit of confidence in the ability of the car as well, you know, to go out and try to explore the limits of what the car was capable of.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's 19. Young British, up-and-coming, you know.
He's Irish, Jamie. He's Irish.
Sorry.
You've just got us cancelled in Ireland.
He's Irish. Home nations. Does that count as home nations, or is that...
I don't even know if that counts as home nations.
I don't know.
Oh, Jamie, you've dug
us a hole
now.
He's from the British Isles.
Good Lord. This just gets worse.
So it's good news for McLaren, basically, because they've got
Is it good news for McLaren, though?
Well, it can't be bad news, can it, if he's got a good reserve driver?
Yeah, but surely he's got to be up there for, you know, knocking on the door of a seat next year.
Yeah, well, he's in the championship fight in F2, isn't he? He had obviously that big error in Monaco in F2, but he finished second in the feature, then got disqualified. I saw that. I don't actually see what that's for.
A technical infringement, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Quite a few cars did over the course of the weekend. Do you want to know my fun fact for the week, Jamie?
Is it about Alex Dunn?
No, it's not. Well, it's about Formula 2 and Formula 1, if it helps. I believe this is the first time ever that the F2 championship leader is older than the F1 championship leader at the same time.
It is funny. I know it's not true, though, sadly.
Is it not true? Was it like Giorgio Pantano or something?
2021, Nick De Vries won the championship, didn't he? And Max Verstappen is younger than Nick De Vries.
Is he?
I believe so.
I thought Max is like 6 months older than Nick De Vries. I could be wrong.
Nick De Vries is 30.
But I thought Max was older. Is he?
Yeah.
I think he was like 27. God, no, he's a pensioner.
Exactly. I mean, thankfully...
He doesn't even look 30.
No, thankfully he's obviously not at F2 anymore and he had his quick stint in F1, which didn't go very far.
He certainly did, yeah.
But yeah, it is amusing that Richard Vasseur is currently leading F2, who's older than Piastri. But yeah, Nick De Vries is 2.5 years older than Max Verstappen.
How on earth is he 30, man? That's completely throwing me up. Well, there goes my that makes my stats slightly less impressive then, I suppose. So what, in 2021... The F1 champion was younger than the F2 champion.
Exactly.
Wild. Absolutely wild. I mean, it does beg the question, though, Jamie. I know we've spoken about it before. I don't know if... Do you watch much Formula 2 nowadays?
I try and watch it as much as I can.
Obviously, we had that incredible Sammy Megatunov crash.
Oh, yeah.
That he did to himself.
That was a bit mad, wasn't it?
But Richard Vasseur, I mean, we've spoken about it before, haven't we? Surely they've got to put some kind of a limit in for how many seasons of Formula 2 you can do. He's on his fifth year of FIA Formula 2. Like, and I understand that he's done interviews and things like that, and basically, obviously, the reason he still sticks around is that's just where his sponsors want him to go.
Yeah.
And they're going, if you don't do Formula 2, we're not sponsoring you anymore. So obviously, you'd need to go out and try and find new sponsors. But you're kind of there going... he's not a bad driver. He's not an Amory Cordeal still there. If I had to kick one of them out immediately, it'd be Amory Cordeal.
Well, I like that Amory Cordeal was almost got a podium for the first time in his 4 years.
He was running
F2
fourth,
career.
Yeah.
And then just had to spin on the last lap on his own. So that
bottled it himself.
Clever of him.
But, do they need like a 3 or 4 season limit?
The problem is, as long as someone's going to pay for your seat, you can stay as long as you want. Like Roberto Meri.
As long as you don't win.
He raced in F2 after F1, which is a bit weird.
Yeah, but have you ever seen Roberto Meri's career?
No.
Go on his Wikipedia page. It is the most incredible thing. I'm pretty certain what he does is he goes back to Spain, blindfolds himself, throws a dart at a world map, and then just picks a racing series to go for that weekend. It's genuinely incredible.
He's a bit of
the amount of random stuff. Yeah, basically, yeah. Hey, actually, yeah, I was going to ask you before we got into the bulk of the video. How was the F1 movie?
The F1 movie,
I still haven't seen it.
Was good if you
it's
know
a
nothing.
It's a knowing wheel exclusive.
If you don't know about F1, it will probably be quite a fun watch because the visually it's impressive. It's good fun. Lots of explosions. Lots of crashes. But if you watch F1. I was just frustrated by the amount of inaccuracies because there's some, like in the first half of the movie, they commit Crashgate twice and nothing's done about it. Like nobody cares. It's just, oh, well, Sonny Hayes has caused a safety car again. There we go.
Nice.
So
I don't know when I'm going to watch it still. Well, apparently all the gameplay stuff for F1 25 drops today. So that is going to be my first experience of the F1 movie. On a scale of 1 to 10, then Jamie, we're gonna change the podcast to what? Knowing films,
knowing Hollywood,
knowing Hollywood.
I mean, I'll probably never watch it again. It's one of those. I'll go like a 6.
Seen it once, but never need to watch it again.
Honestly, spoilers for those who haven't seen it yet: the last race in Abu Dhabi, they swap out the drivers after qualifying, and I was just losing it. So a random, so it's all dramatic. Sonny Hayes gets the sack basically after Vegas, and then they turn up in Abu Dhabi, and he turns up anyway, and then gets his seat back. But it's after qualifying, so they've got the reserve driver to qualify last, and then Sonny Hayes, Brad Pitt, just turns up and takes a seat for the race.
So he does an hour of last to first, does he?
Yeah, he does. It's just a bit ridiculous, but there's some funny things. It was an entertaining watch. But I will likely never see it again.
Fair enough. That bodes well for when I inevitably go and watch it at some point in the not-too-distant future. Anyway, back then, I guess, the Formula 1. I mean, we'll move into qualifying, won't we, Jamie? But there was a theme turning around into qualifying, wasn't there? The McLaren, again, had quite a big advantage. This has always been a very, very good circuit for Lando Norris. And, I mean, he desperately needed this weekend to go well, but it looked like he was in control, didn't it?
Yeah, all the way through, through practice. Obviously, only FP2 and 3, they were comparable, but both times Lando was quickest. And yeah, it just looked like that was going to be the case in qualifying, and lo and behold, it was. Yeah. So Q1
went by. It was a bit of drama, though.
It was a bit of drama.
Obviously, with Austria being such a short lap, it's always one of those ones where the margins are nothing at all.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just over a minute. It's like 64 seconds, isn't it? So it's always the circuit with the tightest grid. I remember, was it 23 or 4?
Last year. When everyone was within a second. 8 tenths in Q1. First time ever. Or closest ever Q1 of all time. Quite good going.
Yeah, which is, and this time around it was pretty similar, wasn't it? It was only, I think, 9.5 tenths or something.
9.5 tenths, and that was only dragged down by Hulkenberg's terrible performance.
He messed up 3 attempts in qualifying, which I will not speak on, because Sunday was worth watching, but Saturday certainly wasn't. Carlos Sainz had some brake issues, so he was out in 19th.
He just had car issues all weekend, it seemed like.
It wasn't the weekend for Williams to remember very quickly. So yeah, that was a shame for him. Tsunoda, you've written in the notes 0.25. I thought it was 0.75 off Max.
No, only quarter of a second off Max this session. He was 7 tenths off fastest in FP1. Q1, but Max was 0.45 off.
Interesting.
Or 0.7, I should say. So Max, he was only quarter of a second behind Max in Q1. Max was fourth.
So he was.
Yuki was 17th. Or 18th, even.
Yeah, that is a shame for him. But, you know, the Red Bull was really not it this weekend at all. So, that boded well for you who predicted Verstappen on pole.
Hang on a minute. What do you mean by not it?
It just didn't have the pace of the McLaren, did it? Probably third.
Oh, okay. You said it was quicker then.
Well, I don't think... it was closer than Mercedes, anyway. Third or fourth.
Fair enough. And this is what actually happens when Max Verstappen has the fourth fastest car.
Maybe the Racing Bulls was quicker as well.
You behave.
Liam Lawson outqualified him. You tell me Lawson's better than Verstappen.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
We saw that in round one, didn't we?
Going back to Q1, though, it was a little bit of a shame for Yuki, but again, it was like, oh, this is just going to be a bad weekend for Red Bull, isn't it? Or at least the number two car. Like I said, he was only a quarter of a second off Max, which in of itself isn't actually that bad. We know it's a very short lap here. But it probably was one of his more impressive Q1 performances.
Out in 18th.
Out in 18th is the alarming bit, isn't it, still? But yeah, I mean, it was Stroll, not really a surprise there. Ocon was, I'm sure, for Haas, a little bit disappointed out in Q1, but a bit like Hülkenberg, drove a good race. Tsunoda, out, Sainz, car issue, so he was out. And then Hülkenberg, so I cocked up 3 runs, which is rather impressive. Completely overshadowed all weekend, wasn't he? By Gabriel Bortoleto, who was just rapid around here.
And he loves this circuit, Bortoleto. Okay, he won in F2 last year.
He won his first race in F2.
There we go. I don't know why, particularly. Because, Hülkenberg has had the edge most of the season, but Bortoleto was like...
Not so often in qualifying, though.
He's ahead in quality head-to-head, though, isn't he? And, Bortoleto just absolutely was on it. And fair play to him, you know?
What's weird about the Saubers in qualifying is it feels like you can come into any weekend and one of them can absolutely wipe the floor with the other. It always seems like pretty much always one
really
of them goes
close,
out
are they,
in Q1.
At any point.
Yeah, they very rarely are they close. And the only times they seem to be close is when they end up locking out the back row.
Or I think
the cars are good for one of them.
They were like 15th and 16th, I think, in Spain. But even then, that's a Q1, Q2 cutoff, isn't it? So
exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, but Borsetto was on it. Qualified 8th in the end, didn't he? So
that car is just genuinely decent, man.
I know. It's a shame because I can't glaze Hulk as much anymore because the car's actually quite good. but it's still slower than the Williams, the Racing Bulls, and
I think
Alonso's
on
Aston
the
Martin.
Circuit that suits it, though.
Yeah, it certainly can be there or thereabouts with the points.
It's scored points in the last three Grand Prix.
Yeah, because
it's clearly showcasing it. Well, Bortoletto scored points this weekend.
Only, yeah.
As well. But I mean, more my point there was these are three very different circuits,
yeah.
And it just seems to be a competitive midfield package at long last.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Finally, and Jonathan Wheatley has only started as principal in Miami, didn't he? So it's going well for him since then. I don't know if he's had any effect, but there we go. Yeah, Sauber's good. I like it. And since we put them, I think, 10th in a Constructors' Championship,
we did.
I mean, they're only 9th still, but the trajectory, they could easily finish 7th or 6th even. So
there's a bit of Jamie Hopi, and we love to see
exactly.
it. Can't wait for that to
get
come back
a podium
in autumn, and they never
season.
Score again. Oh, I can't wait for Borsetto to get a podium. That'd be brilliant. I mean, again, obviously a little bit of a spoiler for the race, but of course everybody that's watching this has already seen it, I'm sure. But in the last three Grand Prix, Sauber have outscored Red Bull.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, which is mental. And if, obviously it's a bit of a pointless stat, but if Red Bull only ran the second car this season,
they
would
be
last
by a long shot
in the constructors, which is a bit
like
mental.
Quite some margin now. I guess Alpine aren't.
Alpine are only on 11 points, so it would still be close. I think they're on the second drivers on 8 points collectively or something, which is just Tsunoda, isn't it, at this point?
Yep. Yeah. It is absolutely mad. Out in Q2, though, Fernando Alonso, like he pretty much always does. Alex Albon. Again, Williams ever after Miami, they just seem to have kind of collapsed a little bit. Hadjar, disappointed, I'm sure, to be out in Q2, because often we see him making Q3, with Colin Pinto and Behrmann joining them. So Liam Lawson into Q3, and actually looking rapid. Not as rapid as Lando Norris, though, who after the first runs would be fastest by a good few tenths, actually, over Oscar Piastri. And then just as everybody's trying to get ready for their second and final runs, one of Jamie's other guys that he likes to back in this sport completely bottled it and basically screwed over everyone not called Lando Norris.
Exactly. And it was a big
shame.
A bit
of an anticlimactic end.
It was, because Norris is already on pole. And then his biggest challenger, Piastri, and the one you kind of hope might challenge him, Max Verstappen, didn't get their laps in. Yeah, Lando just had a clear run to extend his advantage. And to be fair to him, he did a pretty good pole lap. And we don't praise Norris very much on this podcast.
No.
But it was a good pole lap.
Because he hasn't done much to earn it recently. No, exactly. I think the lap he did would have probably been pole anyway.
Yes.
But I think you get a lot of people going, oh, he was half a second a lap faster than anybody else on the shortest track. He's going to be world champion for sure. And he kind of there going, yes, it was a very good lap on a circuit he loves. And his only rivals didn't get a competitive
exactly.
lap.
Am I right?
Like, there is kind of a bit of a caveat to that. I still think he would have been pole. But
did the McLarens
still.
Have fresh tyres for both runs, or just the second?
I believe so. McLarens, Ferraris and Gasly, who obviously completely...
Yeah, he made use of those new tyres, didn't he?
He certainly did.
But that left Leclerc on the front row, because Piastri just didn't get to start his lap, which is a big shame. Verstappen, also, one of my cynical Hamilton-supporting friends, said that if Verstappen wasn't on 11 penalty points, he would have just finished the lap through the yellows. But I don't think that's true.
I can see it happening. But the thing is as well, like he might well have got the lap invalidated, but then the FIA would have done some eggy reasoning as to why he shouldn't get a penalty.
No, he wouldn't.
Like, extraneous circumstances means that... he wouldn't have got a penalty point on his license.
Okay,
they would have done
not.
Something. To make sure that wasn't the case.
Yeah,
again,
but he played
as we always reference. Exactly. I mean, he kind of had to, didn't he, this weekend?
Exactly.
Because obviously it means that he can now, obviously.
Well,
he's basically got points to use up again now
exactly.
after this.
So next time George Russell's trying to overtake, he can just blow him up.
Yeah, he's going to do what Hamilton did to him at George Russell for no reason, battling for P5 next weekend. It's going to be absolutely incredible. But anyway, yeah, Norris would take pole ahead of Leclerc, Piastri just ahead of Hamilton. Ferrari's upgrades, I think, of course, helped a little bit by the fact that Verstappen was out of position and the circuit was warm. But they were McLaren's biggest rival this weekend, and that's a pretty good sign.
Rival is a
stretch. Lawson qualifies for Verstappen. But closest competitor,
yes,
at the end of the day. Lawson would like qualify Verstappen, that was quite funny. Bortoleto up in P8, absolutely fantastic, just ahead of Kimi Antonelli and Pierre Gasly. And before the race even got started, Jamie, Carlos Sainz's car decided again it would just break.
Yeah. It didn't get off the grid, did it? And then, yeah, they pushed it to the garage and the rear brakes just blew up. So that was a good start for Williams.
I assume that's why he couldn't get off the grid.
Oh,
probably.
Because
the rear brakes were locked.
That would make sense. Yeah.
Or sticking. Or one of them was at least sticking or something. I don't know. Either way, it was a complete disaster.
Yes. So Carlos Sainz didn't even get to start the race. It also gave us an aborted start, which, thankfully for Lando Norris, he's learnt how to do aborted start procedure since Brazil last year. So that was good for him. And yeah, it was slightly anticlimactic because I'd imagine the marketers in FOM or Formula One would be fuming because you've got loads of new fans watching their first ever race because of the film. And then they've got to wait 15 minutes for the race to start extra, which is a bit... How many people do you think switched off?
Do you reckon the film bought in a load of new fans?
I reckon it did, yeah. Most people I've spoken to
really?
Who have seen the film are like, oh, I'm going to start watching it. So,
well, fair enough.
Which,
fair
maybe enough. They will, maybe they won't, but yeah.
I'm quite surprised by that. I didn't think it would drag in that many more
No,
people,
I think it really
honest.
Will. It was a sellout in the IMAX I was in, but that was a Friday night, so you kind of expect that.
I was going to say, yeah, it's when a lot of people don't go watch anything at the cinema. Yeah. So I don't understand, like, people that have those, like, unlimited cinema entry tickets for, like, £200 a year.
Yeah, why
I was,
not?
I was like, how can you go watch so much random, like, surely not enough stuff worth it comes out of the cinema. Maybe I'm just miserable and old.
Maybe you are miserable. I mean, I don't spend £200 a year on a cinema, but I probably go 4 or 5 times over the
you
course of the year.
You go quite often, don't you? Yeah. I'm genuinely trying to, I think I went once last year, that was to watch the Ferrari movie, that was a waste of money. before that, I genuinely don't think I've been to the cinema since pre-COVID.
Wow, you must
just,
have no
I
friends.
I just don't go to the cinema. Yeah, exactly. That's why I talk to you on the internet.
Yeah, exactly. It really explains why this podcast is still going after 5 years.
Yeah, born out of the depths of COVID. Still going now. Absolutely fantastic. Anyway, we finally got a race start though, didn't we, Jamie? Charles Leclerc actually got a decent start, so Lando and Norris would deny him a run into turn one, which, if anything, probably did more damage to Lando, because then when Oscar went straight around the outside of Charlie Boy, and then was immediately trying to apply the pressure. Not as much pressure as Kimi Antonelli, though, who put a lot of pressure on Max Verstappen's rear axle up at the top of the hill.
He did.
because with the orange army there, you know, the Dutch fans, everything like that, and it was over at turn three.
Exactly. And that was a shame. But you know what? I was annoyed because it's like, well, Max is just out of the race and he couldn't do anything about it. But obviously it was unintentional. Obviously it was an error from Antonelli. Everyone knows that. He knows that. Max knows that.
What it was, exactly, which is what I said to people, was it was a rookie error.
Oh, perfectly.
He's a rookie.
You're right.
He's
going
to make those errors.
Yeah, there you go. And it was one of those things. So, you know what? You can forgive it. He's 18. He's in his, 11th race of F1. It was proper stupid, though, wasn't it? He just broke so late into turn three.
But he locked the rears up originally, if you watch the onboard.
But they only locked the rears because he was caught out by the cars ahead of him. Mate. Yeah,
yeah. He was surprised by Bortoleto and Lawson, I think, breaking slightly early up at the top of the hill.
Well, it was lap one. Of course they're going to break slightly early.
Well, exactly. But they were quite a way in front of him, was what I thought was quite surprising as well. Like, he was caught out quite badly by it. But yeah, so obviously he went down the inside of them. Actually did nearly get away with it. Like, I think if he hadn't have taken out Max, he would have taken out Liam Lawson.
Yeah.
Which, if I had to choose out of the two of them, I think he chose all right. Personally, is our resident Max hater on the podcast.
Could it be that Toto Wolff
yeah,
Toto Wolff,
I'd love to know how he nailed that.
Desperate to sign Max Verstappen for 2026. Max has an exit clause where he's got to be outside the top three in the championship by the summer break, so could Antonelli be a bit of an inside agent
he's going to take him
take out
times.
Max Verstappen get George Russell to go up to third in the championship, and then Max can leave and come to Mercedes.
Surely then in that case, George will see them take each other out and just immediately crash himself out. So that way Max doesn't have an exit clause and then George keeps his seat.
You never know. That's tinfoil hat of the week, which I don't think is true, just for anyone watching.
Well, I mean, fair play. If Kimi Antonelli managed to do that on purpose, he might be the greatest Formula One driver of all time.
Yeah.
Because that would have been sensational accuracy. It's Nelson, like people claiming PK Bottas moment. Did it on purpose in 21.
Oh, that was they're going, in Hungary. Yeah.
You're just there going, how on earth would he manage a six-car pileup that well?
Yeah, I don't think it was on purpose, but it's quite funny that it was a Mercedes taking out Verstappen, which could inadvertently lead him to come to Mercedes.
quite funny, wouldn't it? It did kind of ruin a little bit of the intrigue, though, wasn't it? Because I think what could have been quite interesting is Max trying to make his way through the order.
Yeah.
Where could he have finished in the GP? But the first time, yeah, he was at the Grand Prix since Australia last year.
Yep.
I'm trying to think, when was the last time he crashed out of a race?
Well,
was that
it's generous
Monza
calling this
21?
A crash.
No, but my point is got involved in an accident with another car that ended his race. Monza 21?
Could be Monza 21.
Let I'm trying me to research. Think. Obviously, he had a couple of mechanicals early 22. 23 finished every race, I'm pretty certain. Yeah. Obviously, 24 was just Australia.
I think it was probably that Monza race.
Where he took out Lewis Hamilton. Yeah.
Well, Lewis Hamilton took him out, yeah. Yeah, it was. And before that was Silverstone, where Lewis Hamilton definitely took him out.
What about Hungary?
Hungary finished ninth.
Oh, of course, yeah, he did finish there, didn't he? Yeah. Impressive.
With half a car,
yeah. Exactly. So, I mean, it doesn't happen often to Max.
No.
That he does get
But this is the risky for... run when you qualify seventh. Because,
when you actually have the fourth fastest car.
Yeah, which is why they need to pick their game up and start building him a nicer car.
I mean, it is a real... I know we kind of play it down a bit still, but I wonder if there is a bit more worry in Red Bull at the moment that they've gone from having a completely OP car a couple of years ago to, if it wasn't for Max Verstappen, would unironically be last in the championship.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And if Max does leave...
It's quite an impressive fall. I genuinely do think we are watching... at the moment, the downfall of Red Bull. In kind of, you know how we look back at like some of those teams in the early 2000s that came in with so much promise? You know, it felt like 8 of like the 10 teams in the early 2000s should have been like the next big thing. And obviously Ferrari just wiped the floor. You know, yeah. Are we genuinely what... Like, if Max left Red Bull quite soon, like, have we already started seeing, you know, this...
They would
downfall
need to,
that is kind of prolonged.
They would need to completely redesign the concept if Max left, because nobody else can drive it. Because it works to run a one-car team. But if that one driver who's driving the best car when it's designed exactly for him leaves, what on earth are they going to do?
Yeah.
Like,
no, it is genuinely... We might talk about this in like 5 years from now of, well, they lost Newey. The car got worse to drive. They had so much stuff going on with the second drivers. Max got so fed up with it that he left, and now they're nowhere.
Yeah.
And then suddenly you've got a B team that's doing better than an A team, and then...
Yeah.
I mean, it could genuinely be... Like, we could be circling around the drain of a vicious spiral.
Yeah.
And that's not trying to be overdramatic, but this is how Formula One teams fall apart and then need to be rebuilt.
Exactly. And you can trace it all back to the death of Dietrich Mateschitz back in USA 2022. The power vacuum that caused, and then, yeah, just it's been going kind of backwards ever since, really, hasn't it?
Pretty much. And it's always the way with these kind of things as well. You know, you look at McLaren, you know, they still won a couple more championships before that downfall, that spiral kind of fully went on.
Mm.
You know, a couple of near misses. You look at Williams, they had a couple of near misses before that spiral. My point is, sorry, that a lot of people go, oh, well, you know, Max is still doing very well. You're kind of there going, yeah, but... This happens to a lot of teams.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
It's that circling around the drain for a few years before a complete implosion and a rebuild.
Yeah.
I mean, for Williams, that's taken 20 years
to
start rebuilding.
Yeah, with a few false dawns as well. And like,
exactly.
Yeah, it depends on 26 a lot, I think. If they start 26
with a
good car, then you're probably like, okay, we were overreacting. But if 26 is
on the other
bad,
hand, 26 is a disaster.
Then, yeah, they could be stuck in the midfield for 5 years. So,
yeah. Wild.
Yeah.
Wild. And I certainly don't think by the end of that they would have Max Verstappen on
I don't
the
think
books,
by year two of that
if that
they'd
was
have
the case. Well, that's also probably true. I mean, that brought out the safety car, though, didn't it, on lap one? Not really a surprise there. Hamilton and Russell, though, had a really good battle on lap one. Russell getting around the outside of Lewis, then Lewis doing a beautiful move around the outside of turn five.
Yeah.
Which, although he only came P4, and I know we briefly mentioned it earlier on, it seemed like the Ferrari upgrades, A, made the car quicker, and B, gave both drivers a bit more confidence, despite the fact Leclerc basically just spent all day in P3 by himself.
Yeah, and it was easily the second fastest car this weekend, but a long way off the McLarens. But Hamilton, what is it, P4 twice now, back in Monaco and here.
Yeah.
Still yet to get his podium, but we're going to Silverstone next, so...
Surely that's going to be a podium. McLarens will take each other out. Lewis will get his 10th win at Silverstone.
I imagine. That would be insane.
That would be...
I mean,
it's the
love
kind
it.
Of script I can see happening.
And Hamilton does have script advantage at Silverstone. It is true.
He absolutely has something, a script advantage. It's brilliant to see. I mean, let's be fair, though, Jamie. Obviously, after the safety car restart, the most entertaining portion of the race was the first third, wasn't it?
It was.
Because Oscar Piastri basically just decided to play psychological warfare with Lando Norris.
It was
just
great.
Just making him check his mirrors constantly. It was fantastic.
And, like, the really interesting thing was, this was as fair as it was ever going to get. Because as soon as he got to a pit stop... they're going to pit the first car first. That's what every team has done in the recent history. So whoever is leading at the end of stint one is probably going to win. Like 95% going to win. So it was really, really crucial. Piastri's like, right, well, I've got 20 laps to pass him. Otherwise, it's done. And he gave it
or
a right
good
go. Or
even just force him into an error.
Yeah, exactly.
He certainly did, didn't he?
He had to get track position in that first stint. Otherwise, there was no way he was going to win the race. And he gave it an extremely good go. And there were a few mistakes from both drivers. I think Lando dipped the wheel in the gravel.
Lando dipped his wheel in the gravel slightly. Oscar had a couple of little lockups. I mean, Oscar actually got past him on lap 11, didn't he?
Yeah.
Got round the outside into turn three, covered him off, and then Lando, obviously, because of the DRS down into turn four, managed to get back round him. And then they
again,
were side by side into T5.
Credit to Lando. That was intelligent driving, because that is the sort of move that Verstappen did on him a few times last year at that corner.
Yeah.
Where you break early, get the DRS for the second straight, get a good exit, and that's that. And you're back ahead. So, yeah, fair play. Maybe he's learning, which is...
Finally.
Bad
finally.
News. But yeah,
bad news
it was,
for our podcast clickbait.
It was an extremely entertaining battle, and it's the first time we've really seen him go at it for a race win. And I really hope it continues happening like this, because, yeah, we've got a long season to go, and not much in it, and two very good drivers. To be fair.
We do. I mean, the easily the one that would have been hilarious, though, was Oscar's massive send on lap 20, wasn't it?
That was desperation. He knew they were coming.
I think that was a little bit of, can I make him jump out of the way?
It was because they were coming
Lando,
to a pit stop,
Lando
wasn't
held
it?
Firm. Exactly. I think Oscar had taken a little bit more out of his tyres up to that point, so had to try and just go for a bit of a shot in the dark. Which, again, obviously, you know, I guess the good thing is with Oscar Piastri is that I'm sure I'm going to eat my words at some point this year, just because now I've said it. But he is one of those drivers that, yeah, will absolutely put it on the line, but always will kind of hedge his risk a little bit. You know, if that had been the other way around, I could see Lando completely locking up and wiping him out.
Though Piastri was Oscar pretty far, normally, like, not that far away from wiping out his teammate, was he?
He wasn't that far away, no. But
I do think
he's...
we've seen a little bit of raggedness from Piastri that we know you haven't seen yet this season in this race.
I firmly believe it was I've got a bit of a lead in the championship. I genuinely think watching him there, that was a bit of a kind of a deserved cockiness of, I'm just going to see if I can force him into an error. I'm just going to see what I can do with it, to be honest. I've got the confidence in myself and in the car. I've got a bit of a championship buffer. I can afford to risk this. See if I can bury him psychologically. If it works, fantastic. Championship's done. If it's not, then we'll keep going.
I guess so.
I genuinely think that's all it was.
I guess
was
so.
Let's give it a whirl, see what happens.
But he was a few inches away from wiping out his teammate for the race.
He was a few inches from wiping him out. And then luckily after that, obviously, nothing happened up at the front of the order.
And Lando boxed that lap, so he knew. Basically, they gave him quite an interesting decision. Was like, you can either pit. If you think you're going to get overtaken, let's box before you get overtaken. Yep. If you get overtaken, you're going to come second, was basically the situation, wasn't it?
Exactly.
So it made for a great
intense
battle.
Going on, though? Alex Albon, our fourth retirement of the day. Quite a weird race of attrition in the end, wasn't it?
And he was although also running sixth, so that was a shame for him.
He was. It was a big shame for him. But like we said, obviously, once the McLarens pit, the gap was a little bit bigger. Nothing ever happened after that, did they? Lando did take the win. And kind of, to be honest, a lot of the race really calmed down because once tyre strategy came into it, it was pretty clear that if car were on fresher tyres, car make overtake.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it was fun. It was still enjoyable to watch. But once the McLaren battle died down, we kind of realised, oh, there really isn't much else going on.
After that, it was just a quintessential exactly. ground effect here of a race, wasn't it, that we always talk about. Of, yes, there's overtakes going on. And to be fair to Austria, it normally delivers a decent action race. But it felt like a lot of the highlights after that, or a lot of the replays, were Yuki Tsunoda crashing into someone. Whether it was Lance Stroll.
Yeah.
Lance Stroll again.
How did he get away with that, by the way?
I have no idea. Or taking Franco Colapinto out for fun, which I didn't mind too much.
Yeah, and Colapinto then did his best to ruin the race lead as well. Because when blue flags were there, he just put Oscar onto the grass for no reason at all.
He claimed he couldn't see him.
Well, he definitely...
Have you got eyes?
Piastri did just come out the pits, so he wasn't there for long, but he still should have been more aware. And as Jolyon Palmer once said, you have to be aware on a street circuit. Or any circuit.
You certainly do. This isn't a street circuit, that must be made clear.
Yes.
But, I mean, yeah, it was one of those, wasn't it, where you're kind of like, oh, it's not a great look. Could have been a lot worse. But it was also, I think, what I read into that was it was that whole blue flag kind of I can claim off the guy in front.
Yeah, they were both trying to beat the guy in front.
Always just gets a bit messy. Yeah.
But just get out of the way. You're battling for 14th. You're pretty much last. You got the race leaders coming through.
Yeah.
So
yeah, not great.
Not great from Colapinto. And his seat is now under threat again, despite not being under threat the pre-weekend.
He had a
pretty shocking race.
He certainly did.
No, they're talking about Valtteri Bottas again now for that second seat.
Are they?
Yep.
Wow. I thought Bottas is going to Cadillac next year.
Well, maybe, but he could do Alpine until then. So
that would be fascinating.
Yeah, John Noble F1 an hour ago. Valtteri Bottas is on Alpine's radar as the squad ponders what to do with its second seat.
Wow. I mean, how on earth have Alpine ended up with a Red Bull situation in which they've somehow built the worst car, I think.
Yes.
And are still just a merry-go-round for second drivers.
Yeah, but to be fair, Gasly is no Verstappen. And he did get Q3, where the other driver... I think it's less about the car being undrivable. I just think they've got no good second drivers. So...
Yeah, I think the problem is as well, of course, is it feels like that Alpine team... Maybe actually he's going to be probably will be in a better situation next year as a Mercedes a customer. But I know we spoke about this, obviously, after Ocon was announced that he'd be sacked. But for a works team, the fact that nobody wanted that seat is slightly alarming.
I guess because they're only a works team until they stop making their own engines, which is coming very soon. So,
but we didn't know that at the time, though.
But you could see it was coming, couldn't you, when the Viri was closing down slowly.
Oh, yeah. So. But still, it's quite alarming. I mean, maybe it worked well for Alpine getting a cheaper Mercedes engine deal next year.
I think it will.
Throw Bottas in for a few races.
It'll work
in the
short term. I think
it'd do better than Gasly, to be honest.
I think it'd be close.
I think it'd be fascinating to see them line up.
Yeah, yeah, it would.
How far behind are they in the constructors?
They're on 11.
Because I think if you had both of them in, you could probably legitimately put up a fight in that.
I think Sauber
are on 26.
26, okay.
Aston are on 28. Haas are on 29. They might, even if they put Bottas in tomorrow, they might genuinely still struggle to catch back up.
That's not that many points. 15 points is not that much. If you got two drivers, if you got a double points finish like Sauber got, that's suddenly 6 points.
Yeah, you get like an eighth and a ninth. Yeah. I suppose. I would be trying to do that.
But
I guess the thing is for Alpine is they've got to just stop trying to find the next big thing.
Exactly.
Although it did make me chuckle Oscar's comment after the race of even years later Alpine still try and find a way to bleep me over.
Yeah.
Which did make me chuckle.
It didn't make the broadcast. I don't know why.
No, it didn't, which is quite funny. I mean, it was just as we said, after kind of that McLaren battle early on, it just became a grand effect race, didn't it? I mean, Lawson and Alonso made it slightly interesting by attempting the one stop. And that meant that we did have a good battle between Bortoleto and Fernando right at the end of the race.
It did actually work, that one stop for Lawson.
They did make that one stop work. Yeah. But you know, at the front of the order, it was both McLarens, both Ferraris, George Russell.
That was never changing.
Kind of this, no, exactly. And this battle a little bit further behind, which Alonso did hang on from Bortoleto. Otherwise, I think Bortoleto would have had Lawson as well. Which sixth place and best of the rest would have been insanity.
Incredible. And to be honest, I know that Bortoleto just had his, you know, day breakout race, whatever. If Hülkenberg didn't mess up qualifying, he would have easily finished sixth.
No, he wouldn't. Bortoleto was the quicker car all weekend, like 11th, anyway.
Hulk would have finished
Bortoleto was the quicker car.
He was quicker in qualifying, but he still had a couple of tyres.
He was still the quicker driver, though. He managed it very well.
For me,
he was driver of the day.
Not mine.
Absolutely. Oh, here we go.
I'm just going to give it to Liam Lawson, because I do quite like Liam Lawson, as much as we don't think he's all that.
I quite like him as well,
yeah,
to be honest.
And I heard the song, which is amazing.
You did. Yeah, I can't believe you hadn't heard the song before, which made me chuckle. But yeah, Norris took the win, though, ahead of Oscar Piastri, Charles Leclerc, Lewis Hamilton, George Russell, Liam Lawson, Fernando Alonso, Gabriel Bortoleto, Hülkenberg and Ocon. Sauber double points, Jamie. When was the last time that happened?
Qatar 23. Do you not think I'm clued up on my Sauber knowledge? Because
yeah, I suppose. No, it's why I asked you.
Oh,
genuinely,
okay.
I thought you were
trying to quiz me. No,
Qatar 23. That was genuinely
Which,
I didn't know.
Interestingly enough, Qatar 23, you also had a car in Q3 and a car in 19th. So maybe that's
clearly
the strat.
This is the Sauber way.
Yeah. And Joe went from 19th to 9th, and Bottas, I think, finished 6th or 7th, didn't he?
He did very well.
Yeah, there you go. Hülkenberg smashed it, by the way. He undercut absolutely everyone and then just stayed 9th. It was sweet. Great race.
He did very well. He did very well.
Brings us onto the quiz very nicely.
Okay.
Because, little warm-up for the quiz. Bortoleto getting his debut points. When was the last time a Brazilian driver scored his first points?
Ooh. Felipe Nasr. Was that...
Yeah, that's right.
Australia 15?
Yeah. Correct. That's the start
it
of your quiz.
It was his debut, wasn't it? He came P5.
He did. So...
That race was carnage.
It was. And there were only 11 classified finishers.
There was. It was terrible. So there was only 15 starters.
You have to get all of them.
Okay.
And if you get one wrong, it's over.
Okay.
So 2015 lottery. Let's go.
Hamilton won.
Correct.
I'm pretty certain. I believe Nico Rosberg came P2.
He did.
Yep. Ferrari were good that year, but I don't know whether Seb did get to the finish in round one. No, because he had an engine failure in Bahrain before the race started.
Was that not a year later? No, that was that year, wasn't it?
That was 15. No, it was 16, you're right. It was 16, I'm pretty sure. I don't know.
No, it was 16, yeah. He did finish in Bahrain, but he wasn't on the podium.
Okay, no. I'm trying to think who didn't, right? Manners didn't show up. I remember the Lotuses took each other out pretty much immediately. I think Magnussen was already replacing Alonso and then he had to back out because he had back injuries after qualifying. So that's already 5 gone. Sebastian Vettel?
Yes, he was on the podium in his first race for Ferrari.
He was, yeah. I'm going to assume Kimi finished then.
And that's the quiz over.
Ah! Oh, damn. So Kimi was also out.
Yes.
Did one of the Red Bulls retire? Or did they both get to the finish?
Retired on lap 0.
Kvyat retired.
So I guess that was pre-race.
Because he didn't make it. Yep.
Magnussen was out before the race, but not because of his back. That was because of an engine. It was McLaren Honda's.
No, that was Kvyat that was out because of his back, wasn't it? And Magnussen
out. It was Bottas.
Who was out
because
of his back? Oh, it was Bottas out because of his back.
Yeah, Maldonado was out.
Obviously, Nasr finished. Yeah. Ericsson finished.
Yeah. So
Ricciardo finished.
Massa was 4th.
Oh, yeah. I was. Yeah, of course.
Ricciardo was 6th. Hülkenberg 7th. Ericsson, Sainz, and Perez, and then Button was 11th, 2 laps down.
Yeah, because Verstappen didn't finish either.
Verstappen
didn't
finish.
Yeah, I actually got more drivers that didn't finish than I did that did finish, which is quite impressive.
There
that's
you
good
go.
By me.
Quite a hard quiz.
That's
with
almost
Simi
as bad
DNS.
As yours a few weeks ago. Yeah.
Well, last week the Italians did not do me any favors.
No, they didn't. They didn't. So you're saying driver of the day was Lawson.
Liam Lawson.
I'm going to go with Gabriel Bortoleto. Race rating, Jamie? I mean, you haven't kept tabs of these this year, have you still?
It was good.
You need to go back
through.
That's
some homework, isn't it? It was good. I think we give default races like a 6 out of 10 if it was a classic ground effect. This one had a lot of intrigue at the start.
A bit of drama.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I'll give it a 7.5.
I was going to give it a 7, so that's fair enough.
Because that first 20 laps were excellent viewing. It's just a shame. It would have been nicer to have a boring first two-thirds and then an exciting last
third. Yeah, and
then
a great...
Third.
Well, it's normally what Austria does, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, right at the end, it did potentially get slightly interesting.
Yeah.
But we just won't remember it.
And Alonso was extremely clever getting lapped so that the race was a lap shorter. So there's one lap less to defend from Bortoleto.
Yes.
That was clever.
Yeah. I don't think he had much choice on that. I think he was going to get lapped anyway.
He still got it.
Still. He did. Predictions recap, Jamie. I think that's the last thing we need to do, isn't it?
I believe so. This is funny because I was 4 points ahead pre-weekend.
Jamie did a Jamie.
I did, which is good fun. And yeah, you said Max Verstappen would get pole in the fourth fastest car like he did at Suzuka.
He didn't have the fourth fastest car in Suzuka, but okay.
You said, so no points for that. You said Lando Norris would win. Plus two.
Yep, 2 points.
Verstappen second.
Didn't quite
plus
happen.
Zero. Yep.
Yep.
And Piastri third. So plus
1 point.
Three overall. Yeah.
Three overall.
I said Lando Norris would get pole. Correct. Half
two
a second.
Points.
Thank you. Max Verstappen would win the race. Didn't happen.
Oh, that went well.
I said Oscar Piastri would come second. Thank you. 2 points.
Oh, I hate this game, man.
And Lando Norris third. So. For me, 5 points. For you, three. So,
awful.
Into Silverstone, it is 34 points to 28.
Oh, that's a shame. That's a
so
big old
it's going
shame.
Well. It's going very well.
I like to give Jamie a bit of a lead early on in the season, and then I'll catch him
exactly.
up and beat him.
Like
Verstappen's
going
to
do this year in the championship.
And no, he already came out, didn't he, this weekend? The championship's over.
I mean,
how far behind is he now?
It is over.
He is, 61 points back.
Yeah.
That would be quite funny. He's only a 9 ahead of George now, which is quite impressive.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what I'd always forgot as well this year, looking back through the standings, for just how bad Hamilton's season's been, he's still not that far behind Leclerc.
Yeah, but when you're only finishing at best third or second
fourth,
once,
yeah, exactly.
Like...
Yeah,
the gaps just stay quite close because even like Hulkenberg drove the slowest car for 8 races, and he's suddenly 10th in the championship.
That is insane.
Yeah,
I feel like Isaac Hadjar's had more good races than Hulkenberg. It's just Hulkenberg's had a couple of brilliant ones.
Well, 5th place. Thank you very
impressive.
Much.
It's still the fact Albon's got basically twice the points of anybody else.
Anyone
behind
else
him.
In the midfield, exactly. Though Williams, the way they're going, could they be under
yeah,
threat
that
for
could...
5th by the end of the year?
Yeah. I reckon they might have potentially just started focusing on next year's car a little bit too much too early. Ferrari,
Salva
back at P2, one ahead of Mercedes.
Do you think, where can Salva finish on this form?
P7. It wouldn't surprise me if they jumped Haas by the end of the year.
They'll jump Haas. I think the only reason they're behind Aston is because of Alonso. And
Stroll scored most of their points, hasn't he? Or not
well, and recently Alonso's got 9th and 2 7ths, hasn't he? So without that, as in, Alonso's the only one doing
well. No, they've scored the same amount of points now.
Yeah. So, I think they could finish 7th or 6th. But the hope
what
in me is,
like,
why not get 5th place if they're better to rest most of the season?
I was going to say, what I like is the fact that every full-time driver now has scored. I always like that in a Formula 1 season.
Yeah.
It's great when everybody
ooh,
excuse
a winner.
Me, gets a chance. Exactly. It's like a kid's sports day here at the Known Wheel podcast. Well, Jamie, is that everything? I think we've wrapped it all up in
I
good
think
time.
We've done very well. Thank you. Before people, I realised I was wrong. I've got to amend an error. I was doing some research because I said that De Vries was the championship leader when Verstappen was. Not true, but it had happened before. I just got mistaken. It was actually Ralph Bosson.
Fair enough.
In 2023.
Fair enough. Oh, okay. Okay. Oh, yeah, of course, Ralph Bosson's ancient, isn't he? Yeah, I forgot about that.
He's 5 days older than Verstappen.
Is he?
Yeah.
Wow, that's good going. Well, thank you all, as always, so much for listening. If you have enjoyed, please do make sure to leave a like. Get yourself subscribed to the channel. We are at 944 subscribers at the time of recording. 56 away from our goal of 1K. As soon as we hit it, I will just stop going on about it, because after that, it doesn't matter anymore. But please just help us get to 1,000. But yeah, Jamie and I will return probably Thursday with a Silverstone preview. Hamilton, he's going to absolutely egg another win at home. It's going to be glorious.